Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. In our last program, we began to look at the sayings of Muhammad, which we call Hadith, and the Sunnah of Muhammad, which is an expression which covers not only the sayings of Muhammad, but even his actions and the commands, the direction which he led his people to practice after him. We discovered that these sayings were collected by some great Muslim scholars as Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, and Al-Tirmizi. We also found out that these sayings were written roughly around 200 years after the death of Muhammad. And these wonderful names, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, and Al-Tirmizi, collected hundreds of thousands of the sayings. And all what we got from these huge numbers is less than 4%. In the case of Sahih Bukhari, less than 2%, so is Muslims. And in the case of Al-Tirmizi, around 1% of the saying of Muhammad. Now, I want to explain to you, what do I mean and what is the danger of collecting some saying of Muhammad literally 200 years after Muhammad's death? But before we get to that, I want to catch your attention to something very important. We know that our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ lived in this world in the flesh for 33 years plus. He actually did ministry for around 3.5 years. And if you look at some Bible in the English language, you will see some words and some sentences written in the red color. These are actually the sayings of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And if you collect all that which our Lord said in the red words and you say them out loud, it would take you maybe a good 3-4 hours. As a matter of fact, as I always say, if you read the entire Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you can read it in less than a day. And if you divided them by four, because these four Gospels are simply the repeated account of the life and the ministry and the death and the resurrection of our Lord, you can read any of them in less than 6 hours. Out of the 6 hours, a couple hours or so are the sayings of our Lord. And the rest is the teaching of what he did and other people sayings. Can you imagine with me, out of 3.5 years of the ministry of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, say we get to maybe 1,000 saying of our Lord. But in the ministry of Muhammad, this is a man who began his ministry when he was 40 years old and he died at the age of 63 years. We can say that he had 23 years to do his claiming to be a prophet or a messenger of Allah. You have to understand, many of these years he spent in war, that is, in the battlefield. And half of these years he slept and ate. So we can say he actually lived 10 years to talk. And how many of these sayings do we have? According to Bukhari, he collected 200,000 sayings, and he rejected 100,000, and he corrected from the other 100,000 only 7,275 sayings. That is less than 2% of what he collected. How in the world you can collect 200,000 of the sayings of Muhammad, even though he only talked for 10 years? Do you know what it is to collect 200,000 of the sayings of somebody? It means that somebody must live to be 800-900 years. Not 10 years, but 800-900 years. That is, if that person did nothing but talk. He wake up from his sleep and he talk until he go to sleep and so on until he dies. This is the imagination of so-called Muslim scholars. And I wonder why Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawood and Al-Tirmidhi rejected over the 95-96% of the sayings they collected, because obviously it was nonsense and it was simply lies. And believe it or not, as we're going to be sharing with you, even the correct hadiths, which means the hadiths which these so-called Muslim scholars investigated, and they know for sure that Muhammad did said what they said he said, even these are filled with many contradictions. So this is a dilemma. This is a problem. That's why some Muslims do not believe in the hadith. They don't want to practice the sayings of Muhammad, even the correct ones by such Muslim scholars. But as I said before, we have a bigger dilemma, which is we cannot practice the teaching of the Quran by itself. I am talking about the teaching of Islam without knowing and believing and practicing the saying of Muhammad and the sunnah of Muhammad in the hadith, because the hadith came to clarify and show us what to do and how to say and how to live the Islamic beliefs. So now we have a problem, the problem of the chaos of Islam through the Quran, Allah's words, and through the hadith, Muhammad's words. Well, let us continue to examine the collection of the sayings of Muhammad. If you tell me, I heard so-and-so said, then I ask you the questions. When, where, and from who he heard that? Then you answer my question that whoever told you that saying heard it from so-and-so at this place at this time. And then we repeat the question again. From whom the newer person heard it, and where and when he heard it. And that circle goes back for 200 years until we found out that Muhammad said at that specific place at that specific time whatever the saying is all about. You see, my friends, the hadith is a very complicated thing. It is not like I am opening the Bible and I am reading what Jesus said. We are talking about the sayings of Muhammad, which was never recorded for more than 200 years. We're talking about a list of names goes back to 200 years, because that's when Muhammad said it before he died. And now Muslim scholars are telling me this is exactly what Muhammad said at this place, at this time. And we, the Muslims of the year 2023, need to practice such commands or such sunnah or teachings. Here I must ask a logical and a very important question. What is the chance that that saying was kept all these years, 200 years, and it's still accurate? No corruption in it whatsoever. The chance is slim, zero, zip. Especially when we know that these sayings were collected from the chest of the men. Nothing is written. It's not like I made a statement because I heard somebody said it and it was written in some book or some paper or some magazine. No. They only count on the memory of the people who heard it from somebody else, who heard it from somebody else. Do you know how difficult it is to collect such sayings of any important person? Muhammad or not? If we know that the Quran was collected 30 years after Muhammad died, and we know how many added materials and taken away materials from the Quran, can you imagine in 30 years the Quran, which is written and collected by the companions of Muhammad, was completely different than that which was in Muhammad's days? And we're talking about only 30 years later. Imagine when you talk about the sayings of Muhammad 170 years after the Quran was collected, 200 years after somebody heard Muhammad say something, or somebody saw Muhammad do something, or somebody made a statement that Muhammad gave some direction about some decision to be made 200 years later. I wonder why we learn about Muhammad going to the bathroom, entering the bathroom with his left foot, when we know for a fact that there was no bathrooms in Muhammad's days. That is the result of the 200 years period between when somebody saw Muhammad using the bathroom and when the hadith was written later. What is so amazing, the scholars of Islam, Those who believe in the hadith, not the one who does not believe in the hadith, but the one who really, really believe in the hadith, will tell you that there are hundreds of thousands of the sayings of Muhammad was not true, which means he did not say them. For example, we know that Bukhari collected 200,000 hadiths. And how many he gave us? He gave us around 6,000 hadiths. From 200,000, you know what that is? That is less than 2% of what people said Muhammad said, and what people said Muhammad did, and what people said Muhammad gave commands and direction for others to do and to follow. So is the sayings which were collected by Muslim and Abu Dawood and Al-Tirmizi. They collected so many sayings of Muhammad, and they only gave us 2 or 3% from that which they learned about Muhammad's sayings. Finally, let me share with you that some of the Muslim believers who rejected the sayings of Muhammad from the beginning to the end, not one of it they accept, because they see it is put together without any truth, because it was written after the immigration 230 years or so, and it is normally that people will contribute to things they worship and to the men they follow their best virtues. That's why we see many of the sayings of Muhammad loaded with blessing, loaded with honoring about Muhammad, which is nothing but lies and counterfeit. Muhammad performed many miracles in the hadith, when in reality the Quran, the word of Allah, assured us that Muhammad did not perform any miracle. And the only miracle Muhammad performed is the Quran itself.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Let me share with you now a great evidence that there are many lies about the sayings of Muhammad. We learn that there are more than 100,000 hadiths that were fabricated. Listen to what Sahl ibn Asari said. He said that Ahmad ibn Abdullah al-Jubari and Muhammad ibn Akasha al-Karmani and Muhammad ibn Tamim al-Ghirbabi made lies about Muhammad. They actually said Muhammad said 10,000 hadiths and none of them were accurate. Add to that, Hamada ibn Zayd said that the heretics added 4,000 hadiths above the saying of Muhammad, which means they claim that Muhammad said these 4,000 hadiths when in reality he did not say one of them. Some of them said, I heard Mahdi says to Maysara ibn Abd Rabbi, where did you come up with these hadiths? He said, I heard it from so-and-so. So when he went and talked to so-and-so, he said, I made it up myself. I fabricated it to help people to like it and practice whatever he said, Muhammad said in such sayings. So in simple words, when you study the hadith, you found that somebody heard somebody who heard, and that can go to 10, 15 names, and the last one heard Muhammad said some statement, and that is what the hadith is all about. But in these cases of these heretics or these liars, we know that the last person who made that hadith made it up. Why? Because he wants people to believe and practice whatever they said Muhammad said. The author of the book concludes that session by saying that in part 2 of the book Al-Atqan to Al-Sayyuti, he said, the long hadith, that is the hadith which go on and on and on, not just one simple sentence, but long sentence to make a paragraph or two about the virtues of the Quran, one chapter by one chapter. It was written by Al-Hakim with the evidence from Abi Ammar Al-Maruzi, that it was said that Ibn Abi Asmat al-Jama said that Ibn said, where did you come up with this hadith, O Akrama, from Ibn Abbas, concerning the virtues of the Quran, one chapter by one chapter? And the companion of Akrama did not have these sayings or these hadiths. He said, I saw the people turn away from the Quran, and they got busy with the teachings of Abi Hunayfa and Maghazi ibn Ishaq. So I made up this hadith. It was also stated by Haban in the introduction of the history of the week about Abi Mahdi, that he said, I said to my Sara, son of Abdurrabbih, where did you come up with these sayings or these hadith? Who recited this to you? He said, so and so. He said, the same. I made it up myself to encourage the people in it. Once again, it was said that Al-Mu'ammal, son of Ishmael, said, an older man talked to me about a saying to Abi Ibn Ka'b concerning the virtues of the chapters of the Quran, one chapter and another. So he said that a man from Madain, and he was alive. So I traveled to him and I said to him, who told you this hadith? He said, it was an older man in some specific land and he was alive. So I traveled to him. So I said to him, who told you these sayings? He said, an old man in Basra. So I traveled to him. So I asked him, who told you these sayings? He said, an old man in Ba'badan. So I traveled to him. So he took me by his hand and he took me inside the house. And in that house, there were some mystics. One of them is an old man. So he said, this is the man who told me the saying of that long hadith about the virtues of the Quran. So I said to him, oh, old man, who told you this hadith? He said, no one told me this hadith. I just saw the people turn away from the Quran. So I decided to make up this hadith to turn their heart back to the Quran. Then Ibn al-Salah said, indeed, al-Wahidi have sinned. And those who remember his interpretation and his invention of such hadiths also have sinned. So in simple words, my friend, here we see very important long hadith, which was made up by somebody who never heard Muhammad say anything about it. All what we see in the story is that we got list of names. So-and-so heard, so-and-so who heard, so-and-so who heard, so-and-so. And because one gentleman decided to investigate that hadith, he actually follows the line of the people who made up the hadith. And they're all still alive. We're talking about one generation, not two or three. And he moved from the first man who heard that saying from, to the one who have told him, to the one who have told him, as he traveled from one place to another, from one city to another, from one country to another. And when he went to the last place, the house where the mystics live, those are the people who are very spiritual in meditating on the things of Islam. There he found the man who started the saying of the hadith. And obviously that man never heard Muhammad, never talked to Muhammad. He did not have any other person who taught him about the virtues of the Quran. But that man is the man who made it up. And the purpose of it, it was a good reason. It was a good purpose. He actually wanted the people to go back to the words of Allah in the Quran, to meditate on the word of Allah in the Quran. Therefore, he made up these long sayings about Muhammad and the virtues of the Quran to the Muslim believers. And by doing so, people returned back to the word of Allah and began to read and study and be good Muslims, honoring the word of Allah in the Quran. Do you see what's happening here, my friends? It's a long series of people who heard somebody, and sadly, the hadith was not accurate. It was made up by the first old man. Imagine with me if that old man was dead. Until today, we will be believing in the saying of that hadith when in reality it was made up. This is the sad story about the sayings of the hadith. And maybe that's why so many Muslims do not believe in the hadith anymore. They only believe in the Quran. But once again, let me remind you of the dilemma. You cannot practice Islam just by simply believing and practicing the Quran alone, because many of the doctrines and the beliefs of Islam, many of the practices of Islam cannot be found in the Quran, but can be only found in the Hadith. And as was the case of the Quran, many of the verses of the Quran were gone or added to the Quran. So it is the case with the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith. Many of it is made up. Unless you really believe that Muhammad gave all these hundreds of thousands of Hadiths, which is a comedy itself. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.